Light and Life Hour.
Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
This is the broadcast of the Light and Life Hour, produced and transcribed on the campus of Seattle Pacific College. The entire staff unites to tell the whole world more about the Christ, who pardons, cleanses, satisfies, and keeps to the uttermost. Dr. Myron F. Boyd.
There is reality in the Christian way of life. Too many people are trying to simulate Christ while still living in sin. The result is bitter disappointment. To be a great Christian, we must abide in Christ daily. A great pianist once said, "If I neglect to practice one day, I notice it. If I skip 2 days, my close friends notice it. If I skip 3 days, the whole world knows it." So it is with a Christian life. We cannot skip our relationship with Christ without noticing it. In Him is life, and the life is the light of men.
Once our blessed Christ of beauty was veiled off from human view, but through suffering, death, and sorrow, has rent the veil in two. Oh, behold the man of sorrows. Oh, behold him in plain view. Lo, he is the mighty conqueror, since he rent the veil in two. Mighty conqueror, since he rent the veil in two. Throughout time and endless ages, heights and depths of love so true, alone can be the giver, since he rent the veil in two. Oh, behold the man of sorrows. Oh, behold him in plain view. the mighty conqueror. Since he rent the veil in two.
From Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Again, O God, to ask thee to call thy people to repentance and faith in thee. We are aware that we can only see a mighty revival as thy people turn to thee and acknowledge thee in all their ways. Cleanse away all sin and everything that would hinder thee from working. Bless those who are writing us for spiritual help. There are so many of them with such deep needs. Supply the grace and strength for them to follow thee. Bless the sickly, lonely, sorrowing, so that they shall find thee precious to their souls. And then bless the leaders of our nations and give them wisdom from above. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And of this in the tempter's snare, by thy return,
Dr. Boyd is speaking today in Columbia City, Indiana. It is the closing day of a special spiritual emphasis week conducted by the Whitley County Holiness Association. On Tuesday of this week, the General Conference of the Free Methodist Church convenes in Winona Lake, Indiana. Delegates and visitors from all over the world will be present for this great occasion. The denomination is now 95 years old. It has carried on faithfully the doctrines, message, spirit, and practice of Methodism as directed by John Wesley. Important subjects for this conference to study are worldwide missions, evangelism in the homeland, the proposed merger with the Wesleyan Methodist Church, Sunday schools, colleges, and youth. Many are praying for a great movement of the Holy Spirit in Winona Lake the next 2 weeks. The opening night, we will hear the pastoral address delivered this year by Bishop Leslie R. Marston, Senior Bishop of the denomination. The Light and Life Hour will originate from the General Conference the next 2 weeks as far as our network stations are concerned. We urge every Christian to pray earnestly this week for divine guidance and unction upon the conference leaders and delegates.
Thank you.
I started on my journey toward the heavenly land, where I joined the happy throng around God's throne. I have met with many trials hard to understand, but each day
The 150th Psalm is a grand doxology of the Psalms. Doxologies have been used from the very earliest times to conclude sermons and psalms. One has said, to give a history of doxologies would carry one through every Christian age and language and end with a concordance of the Book of Psalms. This 150th Psalm, then, is the triumphant climax of any history of adoration and praise. Praise to a God whose infinite wisdom created all things, whose divine mercy planned redemption for fallen man, whose wondrous love provided his own Son for the complete fulfillment of that plan. Praise from human hearts who were dead in trespasses and in sins, who have been quickened by faith in Christ, and who have been raised up by God and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. From the pen of Bishop Ken came the doxology of the Christian Church, which is sung in many tongues throughout the world. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Bishop Ken is said to have been vitally interested in the young men of Winchester College and had these words printed and posted over the scholars' beds. He advised them upon waking in the morning to strive to keep worldly thoughts out of their minds until they had presented the first fruits of the day to God. In that way, they would be prepared to live the rest of the day in a better way. What excellent advice given in 1695, but what excellent up-to-date advice to follow in 1955. It is probably true that the people of God in periods of distress and trial have gone to the Psalms more often than to any other book in the Bible. In them is pictured the innermost human soul, its tragedies and triumphs, its sorrows and rejoicings, its remorse and comfort, its despair and victory, its sin and salvation. David testified, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles." From his vast experience, David was well qualified to exhort others to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. The psalmist's burst of praise in the 150th Psalm comes from the experiences and divine revelations of the preceding psalms. These experiences and revelations taught him that blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He further exhorts us to be wise now, therefore. Be instructed. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Blessed are all they that put their trust in God. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and a lifter up of mine head. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to mine integrity that is in me. God sees the deepest longing and intention of the heart. He judges us by our deepest and sincerest motives. He sees what the heart is set upon, and he knows what one would rather do than anything else in the world. And thus David adds, my defense is of God, who saveth the upright in the heart. The highest expression of service which man can render to God is the act of worship. Mentally, physically, and spiritually, human beings are built by God and created for worship of God. Just as fish were meant for water and birds for air, just so are men created for God. The supreme message of the Psalter is worship God. What then should be our attitude in the worship of God? We must submit to the supremacy of God. Our submission is revealed through our reverence and our obedience. Omnipotence itself is powerless before an obdurate heart. But in submission, David said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. With my whole heart. That's the secret to spiritual victory. Half-hearted religion never brings joy, peace, assurance, nor victory over sin. David said, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. If you want God's best, you must give God your best in reverence and obedience. Next to submission, we must have an attitude of trust. We must trust God rather than self. It is the act of stepping out of darkness into his marvelous light, out of bondage into glorious freedom, out of deception into truth. The attitude of trust is revealed through our honesty and courage. David was an honest seeker after righteousness. He confessed, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The acknowledgement of any truth carries with it the obligation to put that truth into practice. Truth in the heart works itself out through our attitudes and our actions. The element of temptation which constantly surrounds us remains both our blessing and our battlefield. Honesty with ourselves and with God gives us courage to face temptation and be victorious over it. After submission and trust comes joy, and joy in turn expresses itself through penitence and adoration. A sense of our own unworthiness brings forgiveness and fatherly compassion nigh. The more conscious we are of our unworthiness, the larger will God's gifts appear, the more full of all kinds of sweetness. Joy breaks out in adoration. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. What then are the activities of man in worship? Worship makes man a partner with God. Such close relationship focuses God's searchlight upon the remotest corner of man's soul. Nothing evil can be kept covered. All is open to God's sight. The resulting activity by man is laying bare of his soul. David said, "Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." God's gift of forgiveness is offered in the midst of our failures. God's gift of peace is extended to the soul amidst the struggles of life. After the activity of confession, then comes the activity of receiving God's gifts. There remains but one thing to do, none other than the offering of praise to such a heavenly Father who planned and provided so much for us. "That everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." The greatest choir and host of redeemed souls ever assembled is someday going to sing the grandest doxology of all time. Note Revelation 19, 6-8. "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." What about Christ himself? Revelation 19:16. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." I am looking forward with anticipation to that day when I shall join with David of the Old Testament and John of the New Testament and the saints of all ages and you who in 1955 have made Jesus the theme of your song, your testimony, and your life, and together we shall sing praises unto him who hath redeemed us. Don't you want to be there? If now you don't enjoy this song of the redeemed in your heart, you may. Come to Christ now. Let him give you a new song, a new heart, a new life. You will then be counted among that blood-washed throng, singing the grand doxology around the great white throne. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Friend, we have told you of the results of unbelief and disobedience. Will you not study God's word and turn to Jesus Christ and be wonderfully saved? And when you are, be sure you let us know all about it. Again, O God, may the Holy Spirit speak to precious souls all around the world. Convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Show them that Christ loved them and died for them. And may they turn to thee and be wonderfully saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
I do believe, I now believe.
We receive so many wonderful letters from listeners all around the world. We want to let you in on a few of them from time to time.
I cannot tell you how much I appreciate and how much I receive in spiritual help from the Light and Life Hour. I have friends in many denominations who listen regularly and thoroughly enjoy every minute of it. I hear you over KXOK in St. Louis, Missouri.
I received my scrapbook today, and words fail to express how I enjoyed it. I stopped right while I was reading it to pray for the large number of needy souls you are reaching through your ministry. Truly, the field is white unto harvest. I have some urgent prayer requests. Please accept my small donation toward your work. I hear you from Quitman, Georgia.
We profit so much from your radio ministry. While we are Lutherans, we wish to back all who are faithfully declaring the true word of God. Thanks for your excellent scrapbook.
As a widow, I cannot do much to help you, but I want you to know your messages greatly help me each week. Your music is such a blessing and sung in the Spirit. I may have to go without several meals, but I want God to use my gift to save souls through your broadcasts.
If you have a problem, a question, or a prayer request, or if you wish to write us of the blessing of this ministry to your home, address your letter simply, Light and Life Hour, Winona Lake, Indiana. And remember, we are praying for you. God bless you.
The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon thee.
The Light and Life Hour, a worldwide ministry, is carried on by the prayers and letters of people in many denominations. Dr. Myron F. Boyd is the voice of the hour. He desires to help you with any spiritual problem. Address him in care of the Light and Life Hour, Winona Lake, Indiana. W-I-N-O-N-A, Winona Lake, Indiana. The Light and Life Hour is produced under the auspices of the Free Methodist Church. You are always most cordially invited to attend the Free Methodist Church in your community. Today, you have heard the Light and Life Hour singers, directed by Lawrence R. Shanos, head of the music department of Seattle Pacific College. Hubert Wash was soloist, Dorothy Heyman was at the organ, and Robert Scandrett was at the piano. This is Sid Heyman speaking for the Light and Life Hour.
The light of the world is Jesus.
We invite you to send your free will gifts and offerings in support of this worldwide ministry to the Light and Life Hour, Winona Lake, Indiana. The Light and Life Hour came to you transcribed from New York. This is ABC Radio Network.